Good morning and welcome to the Southern Champaign County Today edition for Wednesday, July 9th, 2025. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today is in fact Thursday, July 10th, 2025. Our front page today offers reflections on Independence Day and our various community traditions. This article by Terrence Stuber, who is president of the Village of Tolono, and he starts out, "As I look back on this year's Tolono Fun Days, I'm reminded how closely our celebration ties to the larger story of American independence. Though Tolono Fun Days takes place in late June, it has become our community's way of honoring the spirit of Independence Day with music, races, parades, fireworks, and most importantly, the gathering of neighbors. When our country declared independence in 1776, the Founding Fathers envisioned that this moment of freedom would be remembered each year in ways that brought people together. John Adams wrote to his wife Abigail on July 3, 1776, saying, "I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to Almighty God. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parades, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, forevermore." In Tolono, our local traditions capture much of that vision. This year's celebration included a 5K run and walk and a kids' race, live music, the parade, of course, food and merchandise vendors, a cakewalk, a kiddie tractor pull, a 25-8 extreme zip line, rock wall climbing, and extreme air and other inflatables, all culminating in a beautiful fireworks finale, nearly 40 minutes of patriotic tunes and lights in the night sky. The Pie a la Mayor event, where the mayor took his share of whipped cream, gladly, and new kids' activities added extra fun and laughter to the mix. My favorite part, though, was driving the golf cart shuttle and meeting four young men, teens ages 13 to 14, who just wanted to ride around town and talk. Their curiosity about what it means to be village president, how to bring more businesses to Tolono, and what kind of jobs might come to town gave me hope. Moments like that remind me that independence is about much more than parades and fireworks. It's about passing on civic responsibility and community pride to the next generation. Looking back, I believe that Tolono Fun Days captured exactly what John Adams described: a festival of games, sports, and illuminations that honors our freedom, gives thanks for the sacrifices of those before us, and renews our hope for the future. As we move forward from this year's celebration, I encourage us all to carry that spirit of community, gratitude, and optimism with us, not just on one weekend in June or on the 4th of July, but every day. That is the legacy of American independence, and it is something worth preserving and celebrating together. Thank you, Tolono, for another wonderful festival and for the spirit of freedom you show all year long. Our thanks to Village of Tolono President Terrence Stuber for this thoughtful introduction today. Also on today's front page, we learn that funding for housing has been cut in the new Illinois budget, even as homelessness increases. The number of homeless people in Illinois is rising, but the state's spending on homeless prevention and other housing programs is headed in the other direction. Facing a tight budget year with constrained spending and limited natural revenue growth, the $55.1 billion fiscal year 2026 budget that took effect on July 1st reduces total funding for housing programs by more than $14 million, including Governor Pritzker's signature initiative designed to eliminate homelessness in Illinois. Last year, homelessness increased 116% in the state of Illinois, said Doug Kenshaw, who is co-founder of the Illinois Shelter Alliance, in a speech to the Capital News Illinois. To be in the midst of this crisis and then have the state cut funding was beyond disappointing. Discretionary spending rose by less than 1% in the fiscal year 26 budget, according to the governor's office, despite total spending increasing by $2 billion. That minimal spending growth led lawmakers to reduce several programs. Is it enough? No, it isn't. We know that homelessness is an existential crisis, and the state of Illinois takes this seriously, said Senator Adrian Johnson from Buffalo Grove, who serves on a state homeless prevention task force. She told Capital News Illinois that we have a really bold vision for ending homelessness, and we're going to continue down that path. Governor Pritzker first established a task force by executive order in 2021 that would create a plan for Home Illinois to reduce homelessness in the state to functional zero. That is a point at which homelessness is temporary and people without housing can quickly obtain housing resources. The executive order did not set a date for the state to reach functional zero, and funding for the Home Illinois initiative is declining by $26.6 million in FY26. Pritzker administration had previously targeted housing programs for substantial increases in recent years. The FY26 budget appropriated $264 million for Home Illinois, down from $290 million in FY25. That, however, was a $90 million increase from FY24, when the program received $200 million in its first year after the governor signed legislation in 2023 codifying the task force and the Home Illinois program. Among the decreased spending initiatives in Home Illinois is a $25 million reduction to the court-based rental assistance program, which provides financial aid to people facing evictions. Other programs saw steady or increased funding, including funding for shelters, which rose to fund Chicago's One System initiative that integrates migrants into the city's normal shelter system. Spending on housing programs is also down overall, according to the advocacy group Housing Action Illinois. While some housing programs saw increases that offset reductions to Home Illinois, total spending on housing programs is down by almost $15 million in the FY26 budget to $354 million. The governor's proposed budget had called for only a $7.6 million decrease. According to the Illinois Department of Human Services spokesperson, FY26 is largely a maintenance year for the state budget. We remain as committed as ever to advancing strategies that prevent and end homelessness across Illinois. Johnson said the spending reduction is temporary and the state is still working towards long-term goals that would require more funding. The state is trying to do the best it can with limited resources, said Housing Action Illinois Policy Director Bob Palmer. Some of the avenues lawmakers used to fund programs also divert funding away from one area in favor of another, said Palmer. For example, the Affordable Housing Trust Fund is supposed to provide funding for new permanent rental housing, but money in the fund is also being used to increase funding for emergency and transitional housing. We were in a way glad to see that increase, but also feeling conflicted because it's taking money from another important housing resource, according to Palmer. We have been advocating for that increase to come from general revenue funds. Funding for the Emergency and Transitional Housing Program increased by $7 million, which is a small win for advocates, but nowhere near the $40 million increase sought by the Illinois Shelter Alliance. That group wanted lawmakers to increase housing funding by $100 million for overall housing programs. Palmer also worried that proposed federal cuts to rental assistance programs will put additional strain on the state's budget. The latest data on homelessness in Illinois from an October report by the Department of Human Resources Task Force shows that the state had almost 26,000 unhoused people on the annual point in time survey in January 2024. That figure represented a 116% increase from 2023. That increase is largely driven by migrants. Of those without housing in January 2024, almost 14,000 were new arrivals to Illinois. However, non-migrant homelessness is still on the rise, having increased by 22% in 2024. The problem, according to advocates and the Illinois Department of Housing Systems, is rapidly growing housing costs that make finding permanent housing and affording rent more unreachable for more people. A report last month from the Illinois Economic Policy Institute found that Illinois needs 142,000 more housing units just to meet the current demand for homes. We begin this week's Community News and Notes with the Sydney Scoop, brought to us by Ann Roten. She begins by noting that the next Mid-Central Women's Christian Temperance Union meeting will take place on Saturday, July 12th at 11:30 a.m. at Monocle's Pizza in Villa Grove. Please feel free to attend. New members, men and women both, are welcome, and folks can call Vice President Marjorie Miller for more information. Her number is 217-202-4397. That's for more information on the Mid-Central Women's Christian Temperance Union. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 will hold their next monthly meeting at the post home at 221 South David Street in downtown Sydney on Monday, July 21st at 6 p.m. Prospective new members are always welcome and encouraged to attend. All monthly meetings, unless otherwise posted, are held at the post home. The Sydney Improvement Group is looking for parade entrants, car show entries, and vendors for Sydney Fun Days, which is scheduled this year for Friday, July 25th, and Saturday, July 26th. You can call or text Donna Hooker for more information. Her phone number is 217-621-4929, and her email is mickey752004@yahoo.com. Registration is now underway for Savannah Day 2.96 Memorial Run and Walk. Again, the Memorial Run and Walk is scheduled for Friday, July 25th at 7 p.m. Pre-registration forms and a payment of $25 for the race and a race t-shirt are due by Tuesday, July 16th. Those interested in participating need to mail their registration forms and payment to Savannah Day 2.96 Memorial Run and Walk at P.O. Box 268 in Sydney. You can also pick up forms at the Sydney Post Office lobby, or you can visit their Facebook page, which is at facebook.com, Savannah-Day 29.6 Memorial Run Walk. That's all one word. And their website is very similar, Savannah-Day 296 Memorial Run Walk.org. You can also register the day of the race, starting at 5:30 p.m. Once again, registration is $25, the same as for those who pre-register. But if you register on the day of the race at the race, you might not get a t-shirt, as supplies are limited. All proceeds from the race go to support the Savannah Day Girls Athletic Scholarship Fund, which is set up in the memory of Savannah Day. There is no event flyer as of yet for the Sydney Fun Days taking place Friday and Saturday, July 25th and 26th. Plans in the making, your correspondent is aware of so far for Saturday, July 26th, are as follows. Breakfast will be served from 8 to 10 a.m. at the Sydney United Methodist Church at 501 East Main Street. You can register at 10 a.m. for the Kitty Tractor Pull in downtown Sydney. The tractor pull is at 10. You can register starting at 9 o'clock. And the Kitty Tractor Pull is sponsored by Nutrien Ag Solutions. Cornhole returns to the beer tent this year. The bags tourney registration starts at 10, and the tournament begins at 11:30. Fun to go inflatables will be back again this year from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street. An All Vehicles Welcome Car Show will take place in downtown Sydney. There is a $15 entry fee, and registration is open from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Voting takes place on the best cars from 1 to 3 p.m., and awards will be given out at 3:30 p.m. All proceeds from the car show will be used to support the Sydney Improvement Group. Last but not least, the Sydney Fun Days presents Colton Taylor and the Truck Toppers, sponsored by the Longview Bank. That will round out the day from 9 p.m. to midnight at the beer tent. The Eastern Illinois Foodmobile travels to Sydney every month to serve those in need of food assistance, and they are located at the Sydney Community Building parking lot behind the building the first Tuesday of every month from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The next Tuesday that the Eastern Illinois Food Bank Foodmobile will be in Sydney is Tuesday, August 5th, and folks can visit the food bank website at eifoodbank.org for more information. And on behalf of Ann Roten, she wishes us all a good week. We should also note that St. Patrick Catholic Charities in Tolono also sponsors a free food pantry every Monday from 5 to 6:30 and on Fridays from 9 to 10:30 a.m. Their food pantry is located at the parish in Tolono. They provide fresh produce, meat, and pantry items and serves everybody in Champaign County. In addition, The Giving Place sponsors food assistance every Wednesday in Tolono from 4 to 6 p.m. to help families in need of food items. Moving on, we have our weekly news from the Philo Library, and they start by saying they want to give us two heads up. Number one, there are a lot of new adult fiction books coming soon to the Philo Library. They ordered a bunch of books last week, and they'll be arriving during the month of July. So keep watching to see what we've gotten in and what, and let us know what you'd like to read next. And number two, in the next couple of weeks, the Philo Library will have activities for school-age children. We'll have a ladybug rock painting session, so drop in, paint a rock, and take it home. Once it's dry, it'll be ready to go. We'll have supervision and assistance to help you create your rock masterpiece and dry it before leaving. We will also have an opportunity to drop in and pick out a bird house or a heart-shaped box to paint yourself. It might be a gift for your mom or grandma, or just something nice for yourself or the birds in your backyard. Paint a beautiful wooden creation and dry it, and then take it home. If you want to make it a gift, we can probably find some ribbon and pretty paper and bags to make it festive. This activity will be during the month of July, so stop into the library. Keep reading this column for more details. Moving on to the Tolono Library. They're also having a full swing month of July at the Tolono Public Library. On Friday, July 11th, we have the Remarkable Reptiles from 1 to 2 p.m. Come join the Champaign County Forest Preserve District and learn all about the reptiles that can be found here in Champaign County. We'll even get a chance to meet some of them up close. On Saturday, July 12th, from 10 to 12 a.m., we'll be at Colbert Park in Savoy for Saturday in the Park. Hold on to a Holden Cone ice cream truck will be there, and we'll treat the first 30 attendees with free ice cream. Kids will also be able to grab a sweet treat and spin our prize wheel for a chance to win a toy or a free book. All ages are welcome. Coffee Talk will be on Wednesday, July 16th, from 9 to 10 a.m., again at the Philo Library, or the Tolono Library. Don't forget our summer reading program. We have lots of cool prizes and some great grand prizes. Stay tuned, and we'll still have some super fun things planned. Next, we'll take a look at the night sky during this coming week, courtesy of David Leakey, who is retired director of the Starkel Planetarium at Parkland College. Now, this column and his discussion covers the week of July 9th to the 15th. So, he starts out by saying, on the night of July 10th, you can watch the full buck moon rise as the sun sets. He tells us that it is during this time that deer antlers are experiencing rapid growth. It has also been called the salmon moon and the berry moon, in addition to the full buck moon. In the morning sky, the constellation of Taurus, the bull, rises in the east near 4 a.m. The red star Aldebaran marks one of the bull's eyes. On Saturday morning, one will find the bull has another, much brighter eye, that being the planet Venus. The planet sets perfectly among the stars in the bull's face, which make a V shape. But since the planet moves with respect to the stars, this only happens this particular Saturday morning. The planet will be over 100 times brighter than the star. The moon moves much farther eastward each day, passing the planet Saturn on Tuesday morning. The pair can be seen in the east just after midnight and will get higher in the sky as the morning progresses. Next, we move on to news from Rocket Nation, courtesy of Diane Ducey. She notes that the Tolono Food Pantry is open on Mondays from 4 to 5:30 p.m. and on Fridays from 9 to 10:30 a.m. And thanks to them for having a float in this July 4th parade, with Jan Blaney as the director, her husband Bob, and granddaughter Autumn all participating. Once a month, the St. Nicholas Charity on Wheels supports people in the Peoria Diocese with household cleaning items and toiletries. That program will be underway until Thursday, July 10th. Tolono Presbyterian's pastor, Reverend Deborah Slack, opened up Tolono Fun Day June 28th with a blessing at the Military Memorial in Westside Park, and then an introduction of the summer camp director, Alex Wells. With an Olympic theme, kindergarten through sixth graders will see the Olympic rings when entering the Christian competition, July 14th to the 18th, from 8 to 11 a.m. at 104 East Vine Street. Campers can experience the pillars of Christianity and ancient Greek culture after filling out a form this week, whether it's using creative artistic skills, being smart, or athletic. There's something for everyone when drawing closer to God. Speaking of that, offering kids games and activities was a big hit at Westside Park in the afternoon of the holiday on June 28th, with volunteers from the Presbyterian Church helping at Tolono Fun Day board members Vicki Buffo. Pastor Gail Myers at the Tolono Methodist Church is also active with so many parishioners at the Giving Place. It's open from 4 to 6 p.m. on Wednesdays, giving out free clothes and food, plus taking donations to distribute to those in Unit 7 who may have need. Tolono Baptist Church's pastor, Dr. Michael Frazier, took on flag duty as an Army veteran with his young Trail Life team, taking the lead on raising the flag with some local Boy Scouts from PAC 55. It's always great to see our heroes at the front of the parade carrying the flag, and Reverend Mike walked in front of the Tolono Fun Day parade units, taking local veterans honored to be a part of the parade. Thanks again to Diane Ducey for news from Rocket Nation. And next up, we have the Rocket Rundown, news from Unity. And this article is by Olivia Withreft, who is a student writer. Last week, she talked with Coach Luchinski. And this week, she reached out to her with more questions about her plans and philosophies for her team. The first question is, what is your history with volleyball, and how will you implement that into the program at Unity? And Coach Luchinski tells us, I've been around volleyball since I was 7 years old. I fell in love with the game, but also with the team dynamics that it created. Through many different school teams, club teams, and just from watching years of volleyball, I have learned to love how culture impacts the way the game is played. And that is something that I am trying to implement into Unity Volleyball this year. In terms of skill, I have played volleyball from a young age, and I've had many coaches, and I have learned a great deal of things from all of them. And I think that all of these perspectives are very important going into coaching this season. Next, Coach was asked what positions she's played in the past. And she responds, I've been a setter and right side, but I've also played a little middle, and I've been a libero for a few games. And what is your favorite volleyball drill and why? I love communication drills. I use different communication drills when starting practice, but one of my favorite has to be don't drop the baby. In this drill, there are three players on each side of the net. One of the players on each side will be holding a ball. Players must then complete a control drill of getting three contacts and hitting the ball over the net. The catch is that they have to pass the baby, which is of course the ball, to one another as they do it. If they drop the baby or mess up the control drill, then the rally ends. This drill is fun because it's also so important because it takes a lot of brain power for the players to communicate, but also to think strategically about where to hit the ball on the other side of the net. It works on helping them see the other side of the court, but also seeing their teammates as co-players. This concludes our reading of the July 9th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.